So, we're talking about whose food are we eating today? And does anybody know the story of Daniel 1? When Daniel and the other Israelite guys, they ate vegetables and water and they were way healthier and like better fit at the end of the king's like trials. Anyways, when I was preparing to talk about this, I ran the idea by my friends that it would be funny for my first point to be that Christians should be vegetarians, but they warned me that that wasn't going to be funny, so I decided just to tell you that anyways. But so when we're starting, whose food are we eating? The question we have to ask ourselves is, how hungry am I? What am I in the mood for? I think we can all think of times when we were really hungry, but we didn't know exactly what we wanted to eat. You guys can come in here. There's plenty of seats. Or go on the back. There's a lot of times that we can't decide what we want to eat. Me and my roommates will sit in our room for way too long trying to decide what we want to eat. And, I think that's because there's just so many options to choose from. Personally, my favorite food is seafood. We have some latecomers. Sorry, I keep on looking over there. You guys can come sit down. Don't be shy. I won't bite you. Okay, personally, my favorite food is seafood. It's very hard for me to pass up on a good meal, a good fish or some shrimp. And but speaking with a lot of options, the other day on Facebook, I saw that there was a new store in California that opened up that sells frozen cookie dough. And that's not fair to add to all the other options we already have of cake and ice cream cake. And now we have frozen cookie dough to choose from too. And so we have this giant plethora of options, and sometimes it's hard to decide what we want to eat. By show of hands, does anybody have a go-to meal at their favorite restaurant? They get it every single time they go. Every time that I go to Cracker Barrel, this might sound weird, but I get the lemon pepper trout, macaroni, green beans, and corn every single time. I know they're known for breakfast food, but I always get the fish there. It's my favorite meal. I get it every time I go. I don't remember the last time that I didn't get that meal. But you guys are probably thinking of your go-to meal. But what's cool when I segue into Daniel is that Daniel also knew what he wanted. Daniel had his go-to meal, and that his spiritual meal. Let's see here. I need you guys to participate. So if you have your Bibles, the first person to Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, please read that loud and proud. Thank you. Daniel decided that he didn't want to be defiled by the king's delicacies, by his wine. He made up his mind what he wanted. My translation says that he purposed in his heart. He knew what he wanted. I think this is clear what this can teach us in our spiritual walk in our lives every single day. You know, how many times do we not know what we want? There's so many options of sin to choose from. There's so many lifestyles to follow, so many influences that we can choose to follow. And speaking for myself, I'm not always in the mood to be a Christian. I didn't introduce myself. My name is Blake. Well, he introduced me, but my name is Blake, and I make decisions for Blake, and I make choices for Blake. And when I'm not in the room and the name Blake comes up, whatever they say about that name, that's the representation that I set for myself. And sometimes it's good, and there's other times that it's been bad. But as a Christian, when we choose to follow God, when we love God and choose to be a servant of Him, we take on the name Christian, which has Christ in it, and we're a representation of Christ. So what is our representation of Christ when we're not in the room? When people see us in our lives, at school, at work, wherever we are, what do people say about Christ, by the way, that we're living? We can learn lessons from Daniel exactly what kind of mindset we need to have. Daniel is a person that we need to look to when we try to prepare our minds to be focused on God. We just read that he purposed in his heart that he didn't want to be defiled by the king's delicacies. And something that we need to remember is that God's going to take care of us. Someone read verse 9 now.
Now God has brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of the eunuchs.
Okay, so in verse 8, Daniel actively seeks for relief. He seeks relief from the king's delicacies. And in verse 9, we read that God gives it to him. God puts him in favor of the chief of the eunuchs. So God's will doesn't always mean that we get what we want. God's will trumps our will, and that means what we want gets put on the back burner to God. But the good thing that we can remember is that God has our best interests at heart. God's going to take care of us just like he did Daniel, because the God of Daniel is the God of us too. And so we need to remember that we need to just trust in God, and he's going to take care of us. So once we decide what mood we're in, we get to the problem with buffets. In Daniel 1, starting in verse 4, going down to verse 5, it's talking about the requirements of the men who the king brought in to be tested to serve him. And it talks about all the food that he's going to have. And this isn't necessarily scripture, but I imagine this as a giant table of every single delicious option that you could choose from. I mean, the best wines, the best food, everything you think of, maybe even desserts, I don't know. But it's just this giant feast of food. And it reminds me of buffets. My dad, actually my parents are here from Texas, shout out to them. It's been a 9-hour drive to come here. But my dad used to always tell me, our eyes are bigger than our mouths, don't bite off more than you can chew. And it's really easy in our lives to see all the tasty options that the world throws our way. Media nowadays is advocating and advertising this extremely fun worldly lifestyle. More and more shows on television are hiding Christian morals and are providing an alternative to a faith in God. The devil doesn't have to convince us that God doesn't exist. He just has to give us enough options to keep our focus away from him, to distract us from our faith. And then eventually we become so far down this spiritual aisle of food that when we turn back and look for God, we don't see him. Our eyes are bigger than our mouths. Another thing about buffets that's a problem is the accessibility of food. I imagine when they were eating there in Daniel, they could pick whatever they wanted. And at buffets, you pay a price at the door and you go in and you get a plate or 10, and you can get whatever amount of food you want whenever you want it. And you don't order food and you don't have to wait. And this is how it is in our spiritual walks today. We were given free will. And when we were given this free will, we were given the option to cheat, to smoke, to get drunk, to lie, to gossip, however and whenever we want. And, we're given this opportunity to grab our plate and pile on a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And before we know it, we're stuffed with a giant pile of food and we don't have enough room for the main course. And when we're getting this food or this sin in our lives that the world's presenting to us, we don't have anybody telling us to stop. If you want to keep doing it, you can. You can keep getting a second helping, and you keep getting up for more food, more sin, every single time that you get up. And so what I think Daniel noticed, and what we need to notice, is that God provides a way of escape. We all probably by now know the verse 1 Corinthians 10:13. It's kind of become a cliche verse, which I don't really understand, because a message that's in 1 Corinthians 10:13 is something that we should talk about every single day. Paraphrase, it's, God will not let us be tempted more than what we're able, but with every temptation, he provides a way of escape. We're always given the option to turn down the food, and Daniel and his friends turned down this food in Daniel 1, which we just read in verse 8 and 9. And so we need to recognize that even though this delicious buffet of sin is in front of us, we always have that option to turn away. And the final problem with buffets is the price. You pay at the door, and it's one flat rate. And as crazy as it seems for some of us, all of the food, all of the sin is equal. The person who sins one plate full and sits down at the table is the exact same as the person who sinned 10 plates full. It's all one price. We've heard the verse, for the wages of sin is death. Death is the price for our sin. And everyone sinning deserves death. We're all imperfect, and that's why we must look to the example of David and see that God's going to take care of us, and it's going to be simple. I'd dare someone to try and defeat me when God's on my side. That's something that we say a lot, and I miss that point so much still, even though I say that. I still hand my spiritual cast over to the devil, and I grab a plate, and I start stuffing my plate full of all of these worldly temptations. And so we have to realize this problem with buffets, realize this problem with all these options that we can grab if we want them, and choose to be hungry for God, choose to be hungry for his word. So that brings us to the third thing that I want to discuss with you, and that's quality over quantity. Someone read verses 10 through 15.
And the chief of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who has appointed your food and drink. For why should he see your faces looking worse than the young men who are your age? would endanger my head with what he did. So Daniel said to the steward whom the chief of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, "Please test your servants for 10 days, and let them give us vegetables to eat and water to drink. And let your appearance be examined before you, and the appearance of the young men who eat the portion of the king's delicacies. And as you see fit, so deal with your servants." So he consented with them in this matter, and tested them 10 days. At the end of 10 days, their features appeared better and fatter in flesh than all the young men who ate the portion of the king's delicacies.
Okay, that is super cool. Daniel and his boys, or the Israelite guys, I'm not going to say their names because I won't be able to pronounce them, but Daniel and these Israelite guys who decided to eat vegetables and water didn't eat all this delicious stuff that was going to make them better and healthier. They ate vegetables and water. The same God that split the Red Sea used vegetables and water to show how powerful he really was. No one wants to eat vegetables. When you're growing up, you want the pizza and the cake and the hamburgers. You don't want to eat the vegetables. But God used something so simple here to make this giant point to show how powerful he truly was. You know, the devil, in all of his ways that he makes us sin, it's so flashy. It wouldn't be a problem if it wasn't enticing for us, but we're drawn to it. Henderson, every fall, has a barbecue festival. And at this barbecue festival, there's this treat that you can get called the deep-fried Oreo. Because Oreos weren't good enough for us. We had to deep fry them and then coat them in powdered sugar just to be tasty. But isn't that what the devil's doing to us every single day of our lives? He's deep frying our sin. He's shredding it. He's sautéing it. He's sprinkling it with a little bit of bacon. He's putting some powdered sugar on it. He's making it enticing for us. He's drawing our attention to it because he has to be flashy. We have to want that. And he has to throw this quantity out to us because he doesn't have the quality to sustain us. We're constantly going to be looking for more. You know, the thing is, like I said earlier, that our eyes are bigger than our mouths. And if it worked for Adam and Eve, it's going to work for us too if we're not careful. We have to constantly be focusing on God as Daniel did, looking to him and trying to push away all the options that are drawing our attention. What keeps bringing me back to the Bible is that the Bible never attempts to sugarcoat anything. I mean, we literally just read a verse about him using vegetables and water to make his point about how powerful he was, to make these guys 10 times better, as we'll see later on, than these guys who were eating the most delectable food and so much food. The Bible gives us truth. And the story of Daniel teaches us that when we rely on God, it's simple. He's going to give us what we need. We don't have to look for this flashy thing and this sin, because God's provided us with a simple way to be full, to have meaning. The devil's always going to be enticing, and that's because he thrives on quantity over quality. He can throw a million things in our way, but God and these spiritual vegetables is all we need to be full, to be fatter and fuller than someone living in sin. And so when we decide to be hungry for the Word of God, and we've recognized this problem with the devil's buffet, we realize that it's quality over quantity, and that brings us to the last section of Scripture. Someone read Daniel 20, for 1 verse 20. Okay, thank you. 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers who were in the realm. The first step to becoming 10 times better is to develop a meal plan. You have to have as we saw in Daniel 1 verse 5, he decides that he's going to purpose in his heart that he's not going to be defiled. As a Christian, we have to develop this meal plan to determine what we want to eat, what we're in the mood for. And then we have to write out that meal plan, and we have to remember to stop to eat. And so there's a lot of things that we can do, and they kind of sound overused because you've heard them all the time, but that's because they're so necessary in our everyday lives. They're something we need to talk about every day. One of those is to pray every single day. Pray before you get out of bed. Pray for the good things that are happening to you. Pray for just thanking God for sending Jesus to die for your sins. Pray for him to give you opportunities that day. Pray for that you'll have the wisdom to see God in your lives. Pray at night, thanking him for the day. Pray that he'll forgive you of your sins. There's so many things that we can pray for. Pray at meals. I was in Decatur, Alabama this summer working with the youth groups there. when they would go out to eat, and before they pray for their meal, they would ask their waiter who was coming to the table, hey, is there anything that we can pray for you for? And the results were just outstanding, seeing the people, their faces brightened up. And it was amazing to see what just one simple question, asking for just a prayer, can do to somebody. It can completely change their day. And, you know, we need to be sharing that love. We need to be sharing God's love with people, because that's what we're commanded to do. So pray every single day. And the second one, which tends to be a little bit harder, is to read your Bible. This book is what we base our entire lives off of. This is how we get to heaven. And sometimes it's hard just to stop and read it every single day. I was looking up Bible plans to try and figure out how I could share with y'all how easy it is to read. And there's like 1,000 Bible plans online of all the options you can do. There's one called the Busy Life Bible Plan. And it's for people who actually have a lot going on and they need just little sporadic moments to stop and read the Bible. And then there's one that's I don't remember what it was called, but it's like the catch-up plan. And it's for people who know they're going to get behind and they have catch-up days every once in a while to stop and just sit down and read the Bible. And so there's tons of options for us, and our choice is just going to be, what are we hungry for? If we're hungry to serve God, if we're hungry to love after Him, to strive to be like Him, then we're going to make the time to read the Bible. We're going to make the time to study His Word. And so, if that's our primary goal, we'll realize that God's going to take care of us one day. And so, I know we've read the story of Daniel, and we've looked into the things that he did, the ways that they turned away from the king's delicacies and chose to get the spiritual food, the spiritual, like, God on their side. And so, we take these Old Testament stories, and they're supposed to be for our instruction. We're supposed to take those and learn from them and apply that to our Christian walk nowadays. And so we're commanded in the New Testament by Jesus' teaching and by the first century church. And so I want to take what we've learned from Daniel and apply that into actual action, because we can sit here and we can talk and talk and talk about all the things we're supposed to do in our lives. But when we leave this week, what are we going to be doing with our lives? How are we going to be living? Are we going to continue to be hungry for God, or are we just going to go back to just falling into the norm of what society is calling us to do? And so I've made an acronym for action. And the first one is ask God. Someone go to John 16:24 and read that for us. And actually, 23 and 24.
And in that day you will ask me nothing. Most assuredly I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you receive, that your joy may be full.
So it's simple as that. Ask and you will receive. It's simple. The Bible speaks truth. It doesn't have to be flashy. We saw that in Daniel. He gave vegetables and water to show how powerful he was. And here he's saying, if you just ask, you'll receive. And there's a lot of things that come with asking. You have to look for those opportunities that you're asking for. You have to constantly be living what you're praying in order to see the results of your prayers. But we have a lifeline to God. We have an opportunity to talk to Him every single day. The God that created the universe. We're a tiny little part in this giant universe. And He gave us an opportunity to talk to Him. And I would hate to be someone who squandered that opportunity, who didn't cash in on the lifeline to God. And so we need to ask Him, because He will take care of us. We saw in Daniel that, I'll read it again actually. In verse 8 it said, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the chief of eunuchs that he might not defile himself. In verse 9, now God had brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief of eunuchs. In verse 8, it's cool to look compared to our prayer. He purposed in his heart what he wanted, and then this line right here in verse 8, therefore he requested. He did something. He did an action. When we're looking at these steps of action that we can do, Daniel did an action, and because of that, he received a reward. In verse 9, it says, and now God brought Daniel into the favor and goodwill of the chief eunuchs. When we ask, God's going to take care of us, but we have to remember to ask. So pray every day. Someone read Romans 12:10.
Kindly affection one to another, brotherly love.
Okay. So here, the C in action is care for other people. We have to constantly be putting other people above ourselves. So God is first, and we're serving God, and then we have to take the people who God loves and bring them up and raise them up and show them that we care about them, because life's too short to pass opportunities up. Life's too short not to take the time to show people how much God loves them and how much you love them, even if you're completely different from them. So we have to care for other people. And going right along with that, someone read Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Preaching and teaching in this little passage of scripture, we need to talk about God. And I think that reflects how much we care about somebody if we're choosing to talk about God. My roommate and I this semester have been sitting in the dorm, and instead of watching TV, we'll turn it off and we'll just have a spiritual discussion. And I know at the end of that, we feel, they can attest to this, but we feel so much more full at the end of our day when we end it talking about God. But, I mean, that translates over into going into the world. At school, at work, wherever you are, you can always have an opportunity to talk about God, and there's never a time when you can talk too much about God. So remember that we have to talk about God in order to have an action, in order to become just 10 times better, like Daniel and the Israelite guys were. And so the O in action is opportunity seek. So I'm going to read Colossians 4 or 5. One more time.
Walking wisdom for those who are outside
in
time.
Okay, so my translation says when the opportunity. Hold on, let me see what it says. Basically, what this verse is saying is that when we have the chance, life's too short. When an opportunity presents itself, we don't have any time to do anything but be good to people. We have to take advantage of that time. And get to this. Says walking wisdom towards those who are outside of being time. Does anybody have anything besides the New King James Version?
ESV says walking wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time.
Okay, that's what I was kind of looking for. We can't squander our opportunities. We have to constantly be looking for those. And I think when we're talking about opportunity seek, an important thing that we need to remember is that you actually have to seek those opportunities. And a couple ways that we can do that
is at the beginning of the week, you can write in a journal and say, write out your prayer to God saying, this is what I want to accomplish this week. This is, give me opportunities to grow in wisdom, to talk to people about you. And at the end of that week, look back and read that and see what God has done in your life, because I know for myself, when I've done that, I've been able to see God in my life present. And I can see his plan for me when I actually take the time to write out what I want, because it means something to me. When you write it out, you're setting down, you have like proof of what you said, because a lot of time we forget what we say. And so, take the time to really look into your life and see the opportunities that exist. And so finally, the end is no cheat days. Someone read Romans 6:15.
What then? Shall we sin because we are not under law, but under grace? Certainly not.
Okay, so, God has given us this amazing gift of grace.
He's given us basically a get-out-of-jail-free card. And, that doesn't give us the right to have a cheat day. We can't give in to the devil's delicious, sinful food that he's thrown our way. And so we have to remember that it comes back to, what are you hungry for? And if we're hungry for God, if we're hungry for serving Him,
as a servant of Him,
then we're not going to have cheat days. We're not going to look to to give in every once in a while, but we have to be careful because it's worked in the past, and you know, we are imperfect, and there are times that we sin, but there's no reason to ever reconcile that your sin is okay. And so we have to remember that there's no cheat days. And so we have to, you know, and if we do these things, if we do these steps of action that we're called to do, I believe that we'll become 10 times better in every way, in every part of our lives, our spiritual life, our relationships with people, our just the daily things we do. It will just be better because we'll be more full. I will have that we'll have God on our side, and we'll be full just like Daniel and these Israelites were. And so, you know, finally, I've learned living in Priv this year that in order to make good food, you have to take the time to do it. I've eaten way too many frozen pizzas and pizza rolls, and I know that can't be good for me. And when I want to actually make a meal, I realize it takes a lot more time than what I thought. You have to actually plan it out. You have to go to the store, get the food before, and set aside this time to prepare all of it. And you better make sure you're not hungry before you start, because it's going to be a long time before you finally get to eat. And so, you know, when we're bearing good food, good fruit that we're commanded to do in the New Testament, it takes time. You have to pray every day. You have to dwell on the Word. You can't just all of a sudden do this and be bearing this great fruit. It's not something that just snaps on. You have to dedicate your life to something. Dedicate your life to God and choose to serve Him every single chance that you get. And then you'll see that the fruit that you're bearing is good, and you'll be able to become this 10 times better, this 10 times fuller person that the God of the Bible let Daniel become. And so I don't have much more to say. This week, I hope that the lessons that you hear will challenge you to become a better person, will cause you to look into your life and see the things that you can work on, see what you can do to become a better Christian. And we all have flaws, but we have to work together. And so I love that we have a chance to all come together and to hear great messages. There's some great speakers, I know. And so I hope that you guys really make an effort to try and be here this week. Like, I mean, really be here, really focus, be engaged, and challenge yourselves to be a better Christian. So let's say a prayer real quick to close. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this time you've given us to look into your Word and to look into the story of Daniel. Lord, we ask that we purpose in our hearts to serve you, and that we therefore perform an action to willfully seek after you, Lord. We ask that you give us the wisdom to go into the world. Lord, we ask that you give us opportunities to challenge ourselves to be better, to challenge ourselves to reach out to people, Lord. And we thank you so much for your Son, who was the ultimate expression of your love for us and the sacrifice that he was and the servant that he was. Lord, help us to mimic his actions. Help us to look to stories like Daniel and the stories of your Son in the New Testament, and to seek to be hungry for you and hungry for your Word. Lord, we ask that you help us to stray from the devil. We ask that you help us to have the wisdom to see your way of escape that you provide for us in every single twist and turn. Lord, we love you so much, and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.